Hi, I'm Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, and you're listening to The X-Cast.
Welcome back, everybody, to The X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, and I am delighted to begin our coverage of Season 10, aka The X-Files Limited Series. It's back, 6 episodes of Mulder and Scully and the FBI, and it's officially X-Files time once again. It's so exciting. So this coverage is going to be, effectively, if all goes to plan, a month's worth of the X-Files condensed. Instead of doing several 6 or 7 podcasts about the new miniseries, we're going to try and provide you some podcast about the new miniseries every day until March. I might be crazy. This might send me over the edge, but I think it's worth it because we never know. We don't know if this is going to happen again after this year. This could be the final hurrah. Let's hope not. Joining me today and for discussion about the episode to come is the lady who first talked to me about My Struggle back in the days when she was one of the secret few who had seen it. I'm delighted to welcome back Tania Hernandez.
Thank you very much, Tony. I'm glad to be back. And I'm excited.
Yeah, because we can actually talk about it now.
Yes, I can finally openly talk about it with other people besides my friends who saw it with me back in October, all the way back in October.
Yeah, when you were lucky enough to go to, it was New York Comic Con, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And it was awesome. So now we could talk. Now we could talk properly.
Well, initial question before we get into talking My Struggle. Did the episode change from the one you saw in October?
No, it was exactly the same.
Okay, because I did wonder that. I thought, did they tweak things since those showings or anything like that? It's been a few months.
Yeah, I was wondering myself. I was thinking maybe they might adjust things a little bit, you know, put more of that politicalness in there since more of the craziness has continued here in the States with that Republican guy or whatever. I don't even want to mention his name because he just infuriates me, but it was pretty much the same. It was the same episode, and it was the same one that I saw in October.
Awesome. Well, today, in the first day of the season 10 coverage, we're going to discuss a specific character each day, or a specific writer or director. We'll see how we go, but for the first day of the season 10 coverage, we've got to cover the main man,
right?
And that is Mr. Fox Mulder. But before we do, very quickly,
okay,
did you enjoy My Struggle when you watched it now on
TV? Yes, I enjoyed it, one, because since it had been so long and I wanted to see it again after I saw it in October, because I missed a couple of little things.
Yeah.
So it was great to watch it again because I got to catch up on those things, also because I had it on the DVR. So after it was finished, I rewound it again and rewatched bits and pieces of it that I really wanted to see again. So I got a chance to really absorb everything that happened, because I don't know if you know, I think I mentioned that I felt like I wished that the episode was an hour and a half.
Yes.
Because they kind of crammed a lot in a short amount of time. It was still paced really nicely.
Mm.
It wasn't too confusing, but you know, with the change in the mythology a little bit, they kind of crammed in a lot of information in a really short amount of time. So, you know, I enjoyed having to go back and rewatch the things that I missed and absorb it a little more. Especially with the explaining of, you know, what happened with the secret files and, you know, with the crash and stuff like that. Mm. But yeah, I still kind of wish it was a longer episode, because I think they just needed just a little bit more time just to extrapolate a little more on stuff. But I mean, I still thought it was decently paced.
Well, I keep going back and forth on this in that I keep thinking, well, I completely see what you mean. And in fact, I thought of you when I was watching it. I thought, I know what Tania meant now about how it just rattles along and it's bang, bang, bang. There's loads of things going
on. Right.
At the same time, I kind of like it for that. And I kind of think that it just hooks you in and it is a ride for 44 minutes that it just doesn't stop for breath. And it doesn't take forever landing you back into this world. You know, Chris Carter just throws you right back in there. And I think it's really good for that. It might have felt a little bit more unevenly paced, like some of the two-parter episodes of the mythology when it wasn't on its at its best, that dragged a little bit. So I quite like the fact that he packed a lot in one.
Yeah.
So
no, I mean, it definitely got that impact. It got you like, bam, X-Files, like you're back in it. Like, let's go. Like, none of that long exposition. So I did appreciate that. I just wish I think they could have just had a little bit more time, just a little bit extra for that, since it was gone for so long, you know, and since that big switch in the mythology took place, like, I think a few more minutes more would have been just a little bit more, just to keep it, you know. But I do like that it went right back into it, and, you know, it was, you know, right away. No dilly-dallying, as they say.
Yeah. Although the critics don't seem to agree, you know. I mean, there's been quite a few articles out there and reviews where there's been a lot of negativity. Yeah, as I wrote on a I think it was a Variety Facebook thread, I've not seen one fan or even casual fan of the show say they didn't love it, whereas I've seen loads of critics say it's not particularly great. So what's going on there?
Right. I think the critics who are... We're probably fans of the show, but, you know, the show did well when it first started, but it really didn't, like, hit the mainstream until, like, end of third season, going into fourth season, and fifth season, which I think those were the pinnacle, like, those were the peaks of the show. So I think everybody's expecting fifth season, you know, fourth, fifth season type of X-Files right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Which I think is completely unrealistic. You know, I don't expect it to be that great, you know, but I totally don't think that it failed in any sense of the imagination. Mm. I thought that, if anything, after being off the air for 13 years and not seen since 8 years since the last movie, I thought it did fantastic, considering that they have not had to deal with those characters for so long, like David and Jillian. And, you know, the way Chris works and stuff, like, they haven't had to be in that environment in so long. And for them to just get back, like, I think pretty much on level with a really good, normal X-Files episode, I thought they did great. I thought they did great, you know?
I agree.
I thought it was a success.
Me too. Me too.
And it satisfied me. And I know what you mean. Like, I've been reading some articles where it's like, oh, it's good, but it wasn't this. And, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what exactly they were expecting from it. But, I mean, I was expecting great. And that's what I got. I was happy with it.
I think they, you know? Yeah, I do know what you mean. And I think critics expected a different show to the one that existed 15 years ago. And in many respects, even though it's got a few new modern touches, and there's a lot more money being thrown at this miniseries than a lot of the other shows in the past, but it is still an X-File as of old, really. And I think they wanted something a little bit more modern, with a more of a modern aesthetic. But what they've completely missed the point on is that it does that. It just does it in the storytelling. It doesn't do it in the actual approach. It does it in actually what the episode is saying. And we'll get onto this, obviously.
Right.
But I think that's what they massively missed the point on. And I think a lot of the fans have actually understood. And that's brilliant, because, to be quite honest, I've said this before, I don't care that critics don't like it. This is for us. And you know, and luckily it's done absolutely amazingly in the ratings as well so far. So I think people are saying, well, we like it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't even understand, like, what they're expecting from it. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, but it's X-Files. I don't want it. I didn't want something different. Mm. Like, you know, I don't want Bones. I don't want, you know, Lorna. I want X-Files. That's what I want. That's what I've been waiting for, you know? And the last movie tried to do that, where it was like trying to make it different. You know, they weren't in the FBI. They didn't have their resources like they normally did. You know, they had to work with the FBI, and it just didn't work. Mm. Like, it did not work.
No.
So, you know, thank God Chris realizes, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to do it. They have to be back in the FBI. They have to do this. It has to be X-Files again. Yeah. I have to go back to what I did before, at least in terms of how they work together. So that's the whole point of this revival. That's the whole point of this revival. We're in the modern time, but we're still going to remember where the show came from. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's what I want.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I want. You know?
Same for me, exactly the same. And that's what my struggle delivers. So before obviously Mulder and Scully end up back in the FBI, there's a bit of a journey for them both to go on. And today, as I say, we're going to focus on Mulder himself.
Okay.
We're going to track his journey throughout this episode. So obviously when we first see Mulder, he is still in his basement house that he's converted into his own personal office.
Right.
And he's been there for quite a while, and he's brought out by Scully through, partly through Skinner, who we haven't seen at this point, but he's brought into the orbit of Tad O'Malley. So obviously Mulder's in an interesting place, isn't he, when we first meet him here? He's not quite the man he was, is he?
No, he seems like a more paranoid, now he seems like a typical, stereotypical paranoid alien conspiracy freak.
Mm.
You know, He's put tape on his laptop's camera because he doesn't want Big Brother to see him. He's watching some kind of a True Squad type of YouTube channel where, you know, they're showing about different conspiracies and stuff. He's, you know, surrounded in his world with the newspaper articles and stuff. But, I mean, he was kind of that when he was in the FBI, but now it seems like he's sunken deeper into that world, you know? So he is a much, much more of the people that he used to go to for information. Mm. He seems like he's become that type of person now. Like, he's totally like lone gunman now.
Yes, I was just about to say that. He's become one of them, hasn't he? He's become one of the fringe guys soaked in conspiracies. And
yeah, that like talks with their hand over their mouth and, you know, type of thing, yep.
And he's also, you know, kind of just... You know, he was going through this in I Want to Believe, but it was obviously, what's interesting is that there's no mention made of the reasons why this happened. You know, one of the big things that My Struggle does, probably for the good, actually, probably a good idea, but it very much skips over the reasons why they were at the FBI. You know, the whole thing about how they were effectively told they have to basically go into a certain element of hiding, otherwise they will be killed by the aliens in the FBI. That has been quietly... so far it seems forgotten,
swept
under the rug, probably for good, because it would take a hell of a lot of reintroduction to try and explain that to people who haven't seen the show for 15 years, and probably a lot of the people watching this didn't watch those late episodes where all that was going on,
right?
But they probably stopped watching when Mulder went out of it, probably David Duchovny left, you know, if not before. It's very much a revival without being a reboot, so it kind of just sidesteps that. But Mulder, it's like he's now just been a little bit forgotten. And it's interesting how Tad O'Malley, who we'll talk about later in more detail, he's the one who brings Mulder out into the light again. And obviously here we find out that, you know, his relationship with Scully isn't what it was either, and that they've split up because they were together in I Want to Believe. Mm-hmm. So the reasons why they split up, I think, is interesting. Now, as Sveta later says, that she, when she's possibly mind-reading Scully, about how his depression caused Scully to leave. Mm-hmm. And I think there's an element of realism to that. I don't think she would have been able to stay with him when he's lost his passion, because it was his passion that drew her to him.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she says it in the episode too, when she's discussing it with Tad, that, you know, he was, you know, one of the most exciting yet infuriating personalities, relationships that she's ever had. But, you know, she enjoyed that, like, she enjoyed that, I guess, conflict that she used to have with him, you know, the opposites. Mm-hmm. But like they say, opposites attract and stuff. And now that at that point when he kind of lost it, like, he just kind of gave up, I would almost say, maybe that kind of drew her away from him and was like, you know, it can't be like I can't, you know, she's got her own shit to deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And you see that later in the episode and in the second episode too, how she's had to deal with her own issues, but it seems like she wasn't going to let that bring her down the way it has brought him down at the beginning of this episode. So that's probably why they separated, which is sad, you know, sad to see. But
it is sad, but I think what it does is, and this is something that obviously they were talking about from early on, is that it's allowed them to bring back the relationship that they had when they weren't together, which was very different from the one that when they had the baby and when Scully was pregnant and Mulder was in and out of the story, the story didn't facilitate them doing what they do now, where this episode immediately gets back to the whole platonic love. And and that was always when the show was at its best, when they were...
Right. It's true.
When they were
it's
like true. That.
And it's as much as we hate to admit it, you know, that was always a no Romo type of person, because I knew that the minute they were going to be involved, that it was going to completely change everything. Mm. So, you know, but it's true that that totally changed everything. But it's nice that because of this thing that separated them is you know, got in the way, it kind of gave them that breathing room from each other.
Yeah.
You know, so that they can now work together again. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And
I thought it was smart. I thought it was smart, of course, to do that.
Yeah. I think he needed to do that. I think in order to get back the essential idea of what it is and to put them back in the FBI and almost, you know, skip... It's almost, in a way, it's like we're skipping seasons 8 and 9 now, in a way. Mm-hmm. In essence, we're sort of just... You could almost... You know, go at the end of season before Requiem, just stop watching there and skip to here. They've just imagine that they've had a bit of a, they've left the FBI for a while. In to some extent, you could probably do that really and get away with it now. Yeah. But it's just interesting the way that Mulder is brought back into it, and then you know he meets Sveta, and we get the idea, you know, her talking about her abduction, and then he sees the invisible spaceship, and it's this whole thing of Mulder being pulled into a conspiracy that he's not what he thought. And I thought it was a really interesting journey for him to actually be the skeptic in many ways.
Right.
Which a lot of people have said, well, that's not Mulder, but I think they've missed the point in that they're forgetting the fact that 2012 has come and gone and nothing's happened.
And now, nothing happened. Well, nothing that we see has happened.
Well, that's exactly true. But the whole thing is, This is where obviously the writing and the way the show has ended up has affected the actual show. Chris Carter, I think, fully intended to do an alien invasion movie before or around 2012, but it never happened. So
never happened.
He's had to rewrite that in order to change the continuity of this. So because he's recently said that there's a whole script for X-Files 3, the movie, that he wrote that's very different from any of this. So it's allowed him, though, to actually use that real life production thing to actually enhance Mulder's character and have him go, well, everything I was told didn't happen. So what am I supposed to think? You know,
right.
And Mulder's in that place where he just doesn't know anymore. The truth he thought was the truth. Who knows? So when he's told about this new conspiracy, I think, I don't know about you, but I think it makes sense that he'd believe it.
I mean, yeah, especially since nothing technically happened. And I think he very briefly mentions it in the episode. This is why I always wanted to rewind it, that, you know, 2012 came and gone, you know, came and went, and, you know, we're still here, but the plans seem like they might still be in motion.
Yeah.
You know, or like the date was really just the beginning date, not that it was the end date. You know what I mean?
Possibly. That's a good way of looking at it, actually.
Yeah, because I think I know he said it very quickly when he was speaking to his informant, that, you know, 2012 came and went, and it seemed like that's the beginning of everything being put into motion. You know, whereas before he thought that was going to be the end of everything. You know, that's when everything was supposed to happen all at once, you know. But then probably realizing, okay, and it, with this informant telling him, no, you don't even realize what it is that you're really looking at. So, yeah, I could see why now he's like, okay, Now I understand why this didn't happen the way it was. Yeah. I assumed or was told it was going to happen.
What's interesting as well that when you say that is, and I think I hadn't thought of it in the sense that 2012 was the beginning, not the end of something. And it's a really interesting way of looking at that, because the way Chris Carter has written this episode to be very much tapping into the modern day fears of conspiracy and paranoia, if you think about it, it's the world seems to have got a lot more paranoid and tense and dark and disturbing in the last 3 or 4 years. Ever since almost 2012, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, you've had the Middle East implode. You've had this wave of a lot of right-wing sentiment coming into major Western governments. You've had a lot of things. You've had a lot more police brutality, almost seems. There's been a lot of stuff that's actually started to kick off.
A lot of extremism from every facet that you can think of.
And what he's brilliantly and what he's brilliantly done is write that into the show as part of the rationale, and with just a potential alien, you know, extra thing to it,
right?
I hadn't thought of it that like that. You've made me see it differently there. That's quite scary, really.
I know when you think about it.
What do you think about the informant though? The one that the guy that Mulder goes to see, because he's a new character, isn't he?
Yeah, he's completely new. I mean, a completely different alien crash landing totally outside of Roswell. And it seems like, you know, he takes this alien and does experiments, but then it's like, I guess they use his experiments. I don't know. I wish that's maybe where I wish there was a little bit more time to explain that guy. Mm. He kind of just, you know, pops in and out throughout the episode, at least in flashbacks, and then you see him as an older man talking about, you know, I have regrets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, it's interesting. They just explain him now, and now he's telling this different side of this conspiracy, the supposed true conspiracy, you know, the conspiracy of man and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I hope there's more to him, like we get a little bit more. I mean, there's not much time, but I hope they do explain a little more of like what his intentions are, like why. You know, because it's like, you know, he takes the alien and does experiments, but then like, so now he was involved with these experiments with the women. Meanwhile, it was weird because they kind of portrayed him like, oh, he's a good guy because he felt bad for the alien, but then at the same time, he was the guy that starts this experimentation with humans with alien DNA, or at least he started messing with it. And then, I don't know, someone takes it on upon themselves to take his work and do whatever with it. But
It's true. What I thought was interesting is how he said that he contacted Mulder in 2006. That means chronologically that's before I Want to Believe. So was that the reason that Mulder, by the time of what I Want to Believe, had his little basement office with all the, you know, retroactively? I don't think obviously when I Want to Believe was written, Chris Carter knew this was going to be real.
Right.
But if you look at it back retroactively, you could almost say that Mulder was doing all that then and in his little office, because this guy had come to him and said, look, you know, you've got to stay in hiding, but I have like information, you know. But does that mean for the past 10 years they've been setting Mulder up? Because, you know, the question is whether or not this is true. Because it's this new mythology that in many ways invalidates a lot of what we've seen. That guy says at one point, the contact says, oh, you know, all the nonsense about alien rebels fighting each other with fire.
Right.
It's like, well,
with fire.
But that wasn't originally a foolishness. That was very much, I mean, if this isn't true, how can you possibly explain the bounty hunters and things like that?
Right.
They are alien.
Black oil. Yeah.
Yeah, the black oil. You even see the black oil with the alien at the Roswell-ish crash.
Right.
So how do you explain all that if this has just always been a conspiracy of men? Which makes me think that Mulder is buying into something here that isn't quite what it seems, and that he's being fed a lie.
Another one. I mean, it seems like to me, from the way I understood it, like when the guy is talking about the crash landing that he went to go to, was that these aliens did not intend to harm us. But we didn't know anything at the time. Because that's the other thing, that the only thing that's kind of confusing me is, when did this crash landing happen in terms of when Mulder's father and the syndicate had that accord with, I mean, are there two alien species?
Yeah.
You know, one that's more harmful than the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That these were two completely separate you know, incidences where one was approached by this new species and the other one kind of came and accidentally landed there. You know, I don't know.
It's possible because if you think about it, it all depends on who's lying.
Right.
Right back in season one, I think it was the season one finale, there's a callback to this with what the old man says, that Deep Throat tells Mulder that Roswell was a smokescreen and that the old man says that and Mulder says, I've heard that before. At which point, I went, Deep Throat reference.
Excited.
But then, so for years, Mulder was led to believe that Roswell was just a smokescreen, that there were other things. But then when the Smoking Man is unveiling all of the mythology to Diana Fowley in season six, he talks directly about how Roswell was the crash where they got the embryo that then led to all the experiments. Right. So, you know, I'd be more inclined, to be honest, to think that Smoking Man was lying his way through everything, you know, because we only have his word to go on with for a lot of that stuff. And it's also it was then that the syndicate in the 70s made the deal. So, like you say, there was a 30-year gap there before they had to start making the alien hybrids, which apparently were all part of the plot to, you know, colonize the Earth. But is that true? Like you said, is there more to this? Are there two sides? It seems to have confused everything, but it might turn out to be all part of a master plan that would unlock the greater truth.
But the ultimate, I guess.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's very. Yeah.
I mean, I hope we get one more couple of scenes with that guy, because I mean, yeah. I did find it fascinating that, you know, that there was someone else that empathized with the aliens, but at the same time, he was still involved in this experimentation because he did take the body. You know, like, what if he didn't take the body and that guy just burned it like they originally intended?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So he obviously had something to do with this messing with the DNA and, you know, trying to splice it together with human DNA and stuff like that. So I don't think he's such a innocent in all this. Like, I don't fully trust his intention to help Mulder if he was involved in that from the get-go. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. But obviously Mulder's buys into this enough that by the end, he's, you know, he's hooked, line and sinkered with it, even though the end, in typical X-Files fashion, ends with very little evidence. Except, obviously, the crucial thing about Scully and her DNA, which we'll talk more about when we speak about Scully.
Yes.
But, you know, it's interesting how... Do you feel there's enough now on the table for Mulder to logically need to get back into the X-Files now he's got his opportunity? Do you feel there's enough that's dragged him back in, enough solid reasons for why he'd go back and he'd start investigating all this again?
If I just based it on my struggle, I would say kind of, but I wish they would have shown, given him a little more to justify it. But since we're not, even though we're not talking about it, but when you see the second episode, I think that is like, okay.
Yeah.
Now I see why he's really in it. Because even though the second episode is considered a Monster of the Week episode, it links directly into the mythology.
Yeah, it does.
And that one kind of shows the motivation for both of them to want to find out what, like, to get back into this. So, I mean, if you just base it on just my struggle, you say, yeah, I could see it, but, like, I'm not, like, you wouldn't be fully convinced, but when you see Founder's mutation with it, then you say, okay, now I see, like, why they're trying to get back
now
into
it.
Like, now I get it, you know.
Yeah, and we will definitely get to Mulder in Founder's mutation down the line as we do the coverage, absolutely. But
yeah,
you're absolutely right there. And I think finally, before we wrap this up about Mulder, David Duchovny, I think he starts a little bit shaky at the beginning, but then he really gets into his mojo and he finds Mulder again.
Yeah. I think both of them, I mean, you know, they even said they had a hard time getting into it, but then something happened in the middle of there and they're like, okay, I got it. Like, and he just jumps right back in. And I think more, again, I feel like I keep bringing up the second episode because I will say, honestly, like, I thought the second episode was better than My Struggle. Like, My Struggle was great.
Yeah,
but I thought the second episode did a really good job and was, like, executed better. And I thought the characters were, like, more like on, like they were in their characters more in the second episode. But I could see by the end of my struggle, like, yeah, they're both in it now because they picked it up. But yeah, in the beginning, I could see David was a little, you could see both of them were a little shaky in the beginning, but I think they caught it at the end. And then, you know, I'm sure as they were filming, the rest of it just ended up being like, you know, riding a bike like nothing, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
But I think that kind of helps because, you know, it goes into the fact that these two weren't together for so long. So just like, you know, when a couple that's broken up, they kind of run into each other type of thing. It's like,
yeah,
have that awkwardness in each other. So I guess it kind of worked in their favor, in the character's favor. And then by the end, you know, they're like, okay, you know, they just get back into that rhythm with each other and stuff like that. So
no, it's very true. Very true. And they, you know, the thing with Mulder is that he, you know, he's aged. David Duchovny obviously has aged quite a bit and Mulder has aged with him, and you feel that and you get that sense, and it works. And he has that sense of, you know, dubiousness about everything. You know, time has made him a bit weary and a bit, you know, more cautious about what to believe, but he still believes, and he's still that guy, and he's still got the charisma and the verve. And when he's when he's telling Scully, "I know what I'm doing," you're with him, you know.
Yeah,
and you're
you know, like he's yes, like yes,
completely.
You got it. And just she needed a little more convincing, but at that point when he's like, "I know what I'm doing," it's like, okay, he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
He's back. Yeah.
Well, that seems the perfect place to end our first little look at season 10. Mulder is back. We'll be back tomorrow with a look, obviously, at the other side of the coin. And we'll be taking a look at, from my struggle, the journey of Dana Scully. So thanks, Tanya.
Thank you very much, Tony.
My pleasure. And we'll see you then. Remember, trust no one.